Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to look at the first 10 verses of this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll look at verses 1 through 10, and if you're able to stand tonight, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Help us now, Lord, and God, give us an unction to preach tonight. Lord, let you be seen and glorified in this text and in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, one of the songs we've not sung in quite a while, it starts out saying, "Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin." Don't you love that song? It talks about the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we sing a lot about grace. No doubt every service that we are in, when we sing, the word grace is mentioned in one of our hymns. We teach about it in Sunday school, and we talk about the grace of God. We talk about it a whole lot. It's mentioned a lot. A lot of sermons, a lot of things we talk about the grace of God. I just wonder, though, truly, how much we understand and appreciate, fully appreciate, just how wonderful the grace of God is. Sometimes I believe we hear words such as grace and mercy and love, and we sometimes get to where those words aren't as important as what they ought to be to us. Or maybe we've heard them so much that we don't realize just how great they are. Well, tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about grace. This message I've titled from the text where he says that his grace is sufficient. For Paul, sufficient for thee. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, if you consult a dictionary, old Noah Webster, and I like him. He was a Christian, and Webster was. I like his old dictionaries from way back. And here's his definition of grace. He says it means an unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. A shortened version of that simply is grace is unmerited favor. It's something that God does for us that none of us deserve. There's not a thing we can do to earn God's grace. God simply gives grace where God wants to give grace. Now, if anybody that writes about grace in all the Bible, the Apostle Paul surely knows about grace probably more than anybody else that you're going to find in all the Bible. Sometimes Paul is referred to as the Apostle of Grace. The reason for that is, of course, every single one of Paul's epistles, he mentions the grace of God. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In all of the epistles that are attributed to Paul, or his name is in there. Now, I believe the book of Hebrews to be a Pauline writing as well, but it does not begin like these other epistles. But in Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:2, Galatians 1:3, Ephesians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, Colossians 1:2, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:2, 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, Titus 1:4, Philemon 1:3. All of these, Paul mentions this word grace. Grace to you. And I was looking through, I was doing a word study on that word grace throughout the text, and I noticed that out of all the writers, and I believe 131 or 133 times the word grace is used in the New Testament, out of all of those, the Apostle Paul uses it 99 times. In fact, the gospel writers only use it 5 times, once in Luke and 4 times in the Gospel of John. But Paul, 99 times, mentions the word grace. It seems that Paul was given divine inspiration of God about the dispensation of grace. If you'll turn real quick over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 1 through 13. And Paul is kind of describing what we're talking about here. No other writer in all of the Bible will you find mentioning the dispensation of grace. That simply means that God has specifically appointed Paul to be this one to preach and teach people about the grace of God. He was the one that was sent unto the Gentiles, if you remember. Peter to the Jew, Paul to the Gentile. And Paul says in Ephesians 3 and 1, he said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Paul says that the Lord had made him the dispensation of grace. He had revealed to him specifically. He said in verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." And so Paul is very different than all the rest of the writers. And I mentioned this morning how a lot of people despise the Gospel of John due to him emphasizing the deity of Christ and seeming to shed the Jews in a bad light. Do you know there are so many people today that despise the writings of Paul? They claim that Paul teaches and preaches a different gospel than what Jesus taught in the Gospels. Well, Paul was given these revelations. He was given extra insight than a lot of these writers. And he's able to pin down these things being inspired by God to be able to help us. Can you imagine? I know we can get saved just by reading the Gospels. I understand that. But can you imagine going through this life without Paul's writings, without what God's instructed him to write down in these pages, we wouldn't know half the things that we know. He reveals to us so many things about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the way of salvation and about the way the church is to operate. Without Paul's writings, I don't know what we'd do. I mean, it'd be terrible not to have all that available to us. So no other penman in the Bible mentions this dispensation of grace. In our opening text, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is relating a story about himself. He says, "I knew a man," but that's just Paul being humble. The man he's talking about is himself. Paul says, and he writes it in that way so that he is not the one that's being exalted. He don't even mention it's him. He says, "I knew a man. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." In verse 3 he said, "And I knew such a man." He's talking about himself. But he's relaying this story about a time when he was blessed by God to go up into, or to see into, a vision into the third heaven. Now, sometimes we don't understand quite what that third heaven is. It's not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. The prophets refer to that place. The third heaven, of course, is the abode of God. Paul gets to go up above what we consider the heavens here. You know, just the sky, that's the first one. You go on up into the space in the third, and then you get, or the second, and then you get all the way up into the throne room of God, into the third heaven. Paul has been able to see things up there that no other man has been able to see. Now, we know the Apostle John, in a little later time, he also is given visions of things that happened in the throne room of God. But Paul is forbidden to speak the things that he'd seen. He is not able to tell people all the wonderful truths. And even some of the things, he says, it's not lawful that I should even speak about these things. And to keep him from being exalted, and for him to get in his flesh and to think that he is better than everybody else because of these things that he's been able to see, God gives him this thorn in the flesh, a thorn in the flesh. Some people might say that it was both a blessing and a curse to Paul, and I suppose you could see it that way. He was blessed mightily by God to be able to see these things, but then again, cursed with this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, he said, to buffet him, and that keeps him humble. Paul wants to make sure that the reader understands he does not want to bring any glory to himself at all. Some people you listen to preach and you wonder who they're preaching about. When you leave the service, you know everything about the man that's preaching, but you don't know much about the man he was preaching about or supposed to be preaching about. Listen, we don't need to glorify ourselves at all. The message, the story that we're preaching about is about the Lord Jesus. Even Paul himself, he don't want anybody to understand he's referring to himself and getting any glory for this. And so he don't want to bring any glory to himself. He just wants to bring glory to God. But he mentions that he's given his thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. And he also said that he asked the Lord three different times, thrice, the King James way of saying three, thrice he has asked the Lord to take this from him. We don't know what this thorn was that Paul had. If you study on that, you're going to find that most people believe he was stricken with this eye disease. There's certain things that Paul says in his writings to the churches about his large letters that he writes, and some about his appearance and how he was had a loathsome say that word, appearance. And some believe it was that he had somehow had some kind of thing done to his eyesight. He wasn't able to see good. And he had some kind of look about him that people didn't like. But we don't know that. The Bible doesn't say. Whatever it is, that thorn in the flesh, is not important what it was. The important thing we need to understand was it was something that greatly aggravated him. It was something that caused him a lot of trouble and a lot of problems. So much so, he asked God, he prayed to him three different times, "God, would you take this from me? God, would you take this from me? God, would you take this from me?" Three different times, "God, would you take this thorn in the flesh?"
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.